light of the world. Oh, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Oh, beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you, Lord. Here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down. Yes, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together worthy, and all together wonderful to me. Here I am, here I am to worship. Yes, here I am to bow down. Lord, here I am to say that you're my God. And yes, you're altogether lovely. God, you're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know. Oh, I'll never know how much it costs. Oh, to see my sins upon that cross. Oh, I'll never know. Oh, how much it costs, oh, to see my sins upon that cross. Sing it again. Say, I'll never know, Lord, how much it costs, oh, to see my sins upon that cross. So here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down. Lord, here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely and altogether worthy. Oh, altogether wonderful to me. Amen. Let's worship him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We come to bow down. We come to praise you. We come to exalt you. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. So good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank God for bringing us through another week. Amen. He didn't have to do it, but he did. We're grateful to be able to give him praise. Now let's turn to a scripture here tonight. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 62. It reads as follows. Says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He, that means God, is, he is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Salah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. He is our rock and he is our defense. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we are so appreciative that we have the opportunity to come back into the house of the Lord. God, amen. We come with joy, with thanksgiving on the tip of our tongues. We thank you for bringing us through another week. Certainly we had trials and we had tribulations, but Lord, by us standing here tonight, it shows that we have victory. And God, we just want to worship you. We want to praise you in the midst of everything that we're going through, because we know that as we worship, things can turn in our favor. We believe that, God. So Father, we just ask that you'd help us to just push everything to the side tonight and let us enter in and receive everything that you have in store for us tonight. Bless the saints that are gathered here. Those that may still be on the way, give them traveling mercies. Those that are unable to be with us tonight, we ask that you look upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just greet somebody and just say, it's so good to see you tonight. Just, amen. Just greet someone. Praise the Lord.
In Jesus' name, oh, everybody smile. Jesus loves you. Oh, everybody smile. Oh, Jesus loves you. Come on. Come on and greet somebody in Jesus' name. Tell them that you love them. Oh, in Jesus' name, tell them we gotta work together. Oh, in Jesus' name, oh, say everybody smile. Oh, Jesus, yes, he does. Say everybody smile. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Greet somebody, oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, tell them that you love them, yes, in Jesus' name. Oh, tell them we gotta work together, oh, in Jesus. Oh, everybody smile, Jesus loves you. Say everybody smile. My Jesus loves. Come on, sing it again. Greet somebody. Greet some in Jesus' name. Oh, and tell them that you love them in Jesus' name. Oh, tell them we gotta work together. Yes, we do in Jesus' name. And everybody smile.
Yes, he does everybody smile. For Jesus. All right, one more time. Oh, we sing and greet in Jesus' name. Oh, tell him that you love him. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, tell him we gotta work together in Jesus' name. Oh, and everybody smile, for Jesus loves you. Oh, everybody smile, say smile, Jesus loves you. Oh, come on and worship him tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I want to sing this song. God has it all in control. Songwriters say he put that reassurance way down in my soul. God has it all in control. Anybody believe that tonight? Amen. Some of those songs were birthed out of trials and tribulations, things that people went through, and they need to have something to encourage them in their spirits. They would sing songs like that. So let's just sing it tonight. Amen. As we just give honor and glory to our Lord and to our Savior. Amen. We trust that he has it all in control. Hallelujah. Oh, God's got it all in control. Come on, sing with all your heart. God's got it all in control. Hallelujah. God's got it all in control. You see, he put that reassurance way down in my soul. I believe it. God's got it all in control. Come on, sing with all your heart tonight. Oh, God's got it all in control. Hallelujah. God's got it all. God's got it all in control. He put that reassurance, yes, he did, down in my soul. God's got it all in control. Come on, sing it again with all your heart. Oh, God's got it all in control. We believe it tonight, Jesus. He's got it all in control. You see, put that reassurance away down in my soul. I know it is. God's got it all in control. I put my life in his hands. Yes, I put my life in his hands. Yes, I did. Oh, I put my life in his hands. He put that reassurance. Oh, it's in God's holy plan. Oh, for God's got it all. Yes, he does in control. Come on, I put my life in his hands. Hey, I put my life in his hands. Thank you, Jesus. I put my life in his hands. walk down is in God's holy plan. I believe it. God's got it all in control. Come on, sing that again. I put my life in his hand. I put my life in his hands. Oh, yes, I did. I put my life in his hands. You see, for every road I walk down, oh, it's in God's holy plan. So God's got it all in control. Say God's got it all in control. One more time. Oh, God's got it all in control. Hallelujah. Yes, he's got it all in control. Hey, he put that reassurance. He put it way down in my soul. And I know God's got it all in control. Amen. Come on and worship him, because you know that he has it all under control. There's no God like our God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Before we go a little further in the service, I wanted to, amen, just give space for anyone that might have a testimony or want to share tonight. We want to give space for that in our testimony. Okay, y'all be seated. Amen. Sister Michelle, you can go ahead and share. Praise the Lord. Thank God for blessing our sister with the car. God bless you, sister. Glory to God. Thank God for touching our precious sister. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Brother Burrs actually recently went to another doctor just to kind of get some advice and, you know, just kind of talk to him about, you know, is cancer in my body? Asked him a question. And another doctor did some tests and, you know, and he came back and say, he's a doctor, he said he liked to talk to the body. And he said, you asked me, I asked the body. So he say, you want to know the question, I asked your body. And your body tell me the answer. So he asked the body, says, cancer there? And he said, yes. And then he said, well, is it active? No. So if it's not active, it's not there. And so, you know, just another confirmation that, you know, the Lord is at work. And, you know, the prophet told us that no church can thrive unless the supernatural is made known in the midst of the people, something that they can talk to, something that will talk back to them. And, you know, so as a church, we need to see God do these type of things in our midst. We know, you know, there might be some that might not receive that testimony, but somebody is, right? So, you know, every time we see someone get attacked in their body, we're looking for a testimony to come forth of God being a healer. We'll never stop expecting that. So thank God that he has proven himself, amen, here in our midst. We're grateful, and I don't mind bragging on my Jesus. Every time I get an opportunity, you know, to brag. Somebody I was just recently talking to, and they was telling me about cancer that they in their family, and, you know, I said, well, you know, this happened in our church and in our family. You know, my dad was healed of it, and so just because you hear stage four, don't feel like it's over. Amen. God is still God. Amen. So we certainly appreciate all he's doing. Anybody else before we? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we just believe God and certainly thank God for watching over and touching our brother in his body. Amen. We all under attack, but we all expecting victory. Amen. No matter what it is that we're facing, we're expecting victory. Anybody else want to testify? Okay, certainly. certainly praise the Lord for that. I mean, we were certainly a little disappointed that we had to pay to get a window repaired, but our family was safe, and we thank God for that. I mean, I trust that when those young men got a hold of that Bible, and maybe it struck something, you know, within them. So we just thank God for watching over us. Anybody else before we? Okay, yes, sister. Thank God. Yeah, we got young people working. That's good. Congratulations, Sister Gabby. That's very, very good. Amen. You know, it's always a blessing when we kind of start getting paychecks. I have one of these Friday nights, and I don't know when, but it's in my heart to talk to the youth. Primarily, and then if some of the parents want to sit in on it, they're certainly welcome to. But I want to have a conversation about finances, like budgeting and things of that nature, you know, because I think it's very important that if we, at a young age, if we get a handle on that, it will help us later on in life. Because there, you know, we've all been there. We've been on top and under and on top and under, and you know, and it's a cycle that you just don't enjoy. So I want to just kind of maybe share a few scriptures and things like that for the youth, and you know, and even open up the floor for anybody that might have questions and things, you know, along those lines. So, but I want to do that hopefully before we go back into school. That would be my desire. So I'll let y'all know when that's going to come, but. Just keep us in prayer about it, because it's just in my heart to do something like that. All right, I want to just take tonight just to read a couple scriptures and maybe talk on the little subject of He cares. I'll read a scripture. I'll just read from 1 Peter 5. Then I'll let you have your seats, and then I'll read another scripture, 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 6 here. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Let's just ask God's blessings upon his word. God, we thank you for all the testimonies that we heard here tonight, the great things that you're doing in the midst of your people. As we've just read your word, we trust, God, that you would just take the word and really quicken it to our spirits, and may the Holy Spirit just take control of every thought that would be shared here tonight, and every thought that will be received. We ask that you would just bless our hearts in the only way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Again, we just wanted to use for, amen, a topic tonight. He cares. He cares. And I think it's good to know that God cares. There's often times that we go through things and, amen, we feel like nobody cares. Amen. No one's concerned about what we're going through. But you can never go through anything, amen, without God caring about it. Amen. Without God being concerned about it, without God orchestrating, everything within that particular trial. So we want to we trust that we'll encourage your heart here tonight. There was let's pick up a little scripture here over in Matthew chapter 8 and just read from there, verse 1, Matthew 8. It's a little story here. Now, this particular passage is talking about how the Lord Jesus
healed a leper.
Here this man had a condition, and when you had leprosy in the scripture, that was taboo, right? That was, you got leprosy, you can't hang around the people, you got to get outside the city, and it put you in isolation. It made you feel alone. Nobody wanted you around. It's a really, really bad condition to have. That was one of the worst things that you could get is leprosy. But we're going to pick this up in the scripture where Jesus saw this man with leprosy. And typically you see a person with leprosy, you can't touch them. You can't do anything. But when Jesus saw this man, Jesus cared for the man. And Jesus reached back out and he actually touched the man. And it showed that, no matter what his condition, Jesus cared. Right? When nobody else cared, Jesus cared. And I think that's a good thing that we need to know, that no matter what one of us may be going through, what one of our loved ones may be going through, Jesus cares. Right? He cares so much that he's willing to change the situation if they would just ask him to. Amen. The thing of it is, they got to invite him into the circumstance. You got to invite him into the situation because he cares. He can do something about it. And typically, he's the only one that can do something about it. But we have to be willing. We have to be open just to get him involved in whatever it is that we're going through. But let's read this, amen, out of Matthew 8. It says here that, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, the first thing that we get from it here is that, amen, this man came with an attitude of worship. Right. He came with an attitude of praising God and amen and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I mean, he had great multitudes following. I don't know what their attitude was when they were following him. But this man had a need. And in his need, he realized the way to get Jesus' attention is first to begin to worship him. Oh, my God. See, and we don't realize whatever we're going through, if we want to get the Lord's attention, we're going to have to start worshiping. Now, the Bible says, because if we find ourselves, Lord, where are you? I'm looking for you. I don't see you. It feel like you don't care. Amen. You're not here. I don't understand why I'm going through this. Amen. Don't have that type of attitude when you're going through a trial. But the first thing you got to do is just begin to worship God in the midst of what you're going through, because the Bible says he dwells in the midst of your praise. Right? So if you're looking for him, you got to start praising him. If you want to feel his presence, you got to start praising him. Amen. You cannot just sit there and sulk and mope and complain. That's going to drive his presence away. But if you can get some strength from the inside, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I'm not changing my testimony. I don't care what I'm going through. I might be isolated, but I'm coming to you because I believe you can help me. Amen. If we approach the Lord with that type of attitude, then it's unlimited what he can do for us. Amen. This man was a leper. And I can just imagine everybody else when the crowd following Jesus. But when they saw this leper approach, maybe all of them begin to draw away. Amen. Jesus, don't touch a leper. Don't let him touch you. Don't get close to this man. See, I mean, it was a bad condition when you had leprosy. But it says here, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. See, I mean, nobody else can do this, but I done heard too much about what you've done. I've seen some of the things that you've done, so I got confidence that if I can just get into your presence, if you will, you can turn my situation around. If you will, if it's your will, I know this thing will change. I just believe, I got confidence that you can do something about it tonight. See, it says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And here it says, and Jesus put forth his hand. Now, you weren't supposed to touch a leper. See, you weren't supposed to do this, but Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And it says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. I need God to change some things in my life immediately. But I know if I come to him with the right approach, then amen, I believe it is his will. Whatever you're going through tonight, it is his will to turn that thing around. Amen. Amen. He cares. Amen. Jesus
cares. All you got to do is bring it to him and get him involved in it. Jesus cares. Now, once you give it to him, amen, you got to leave it in his hands. Right? You gotta realize that can't nobody fix it but Jesus. Can't nobody change it but Jesus. That's why we read earlier, he is our rock and he is our defense. Amen. Can't nobody do it but Jesus. So when I give it to him because I know he cares about it, I got confidence that he's going to take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Said Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them, because the priest would have to give the approval that the person had been cleansed from the leprosy. So Jesus was following the word, but it showed that he cared. I was reading something, amen, earlier, and they were saying how when a person would actually get leprosy, back in Old Testament times when they get leprosy, say the priest, and this is a sad situation, that the priest themselves would see the person with leprosy, and they'd be trying to kind of, you know, dodge them, getting away. And not only that, they would pick up rocks and throw at the person to try to make sure that they didn't come near them, right? I mean, I'm already isolated. I'm already down. I'm already out. I'm already, you know, in a situation where I can't be around anybody else. Why would the priest, now out of all the people that are coming out of, you know, the nation of Israel, it would be the priest that are picking up rocks and throwing them at the person with leprosy. But Jesus had to show, look, I'm not like them. Amen. A person that'll pick up a rock and throw it at you when you're down shows that they don't care. But a person that can get next to you, amen, and pick you up and somehow get identified with what you're going through, it shows that they care. Come on, somebody. The church needs to care about people now. Amen. We got to show people that we care. Jesus cares. Oh, hallelujah. All right, come on now. Glory to God, glory to God. Look at this. I want to just kind of read a little bit here for you. Thank you, Jesus. Out of He careth for you, the prophet makes some comments. Amen. Let's just read it here. It says, finally, what does it end up in? It says, murder and suicide. Man who thinks that he's doing something when he gets a date with his neighbor's wife, or break up some home or some woman, you think you're getting by with something, but finally you'll end up with a pistol to the side of your head and blow your brains out or jump from some scaffold somewhere or kill yourself, take poison, dope or something, and go into a miserable condition and die and go to a devil's hell because you've rejected the real cure. We got a cure. Calvary's that cure. Christ is the cure, and he is the only cure. The only foundation, the only way. There's things that you can get from Christ that you can't get from nowhere else. So when this man was approaching Christ, he knew the only place that he can get his condition taken care of is through Christ. Amen. I mean, and sometimes we're going to realize only God can take care of some of the things that we're going through. Amen. We trust a lot of people, but now it's time to trust God. Hallelujah, because he cares, church. Amen. Your boss don't care like Jesus cares. The doctor does not care like Jesus cares. Your family does not care like Jesus cares. Amen. Can't nobody do it but Jesus. Hallelujah, church. When we really get that understanding, it'll change some things in our life. It'll put some joy. I look at this man in scripture. I look at him being a leper. He was probably happy that day that he passed in the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. He finally found somebody that could take care of his condition. Maybe the priest throwing rocks at him, but he found somebody that cared about him that would not throw rocks at him. But they would reach their hand out to him because he cared. Come on now, let's keep going. He says, we got a cure. Calvary's that cure. Christ is the cure. And he is the only cure, the only foundation, the only way. There is things that you can get from Christ that you can't get from nowhere else. Christ is the way, not a way, it's the way. We understand? Christ is not a way, but Christ is the way. Jesus is the way. See, Christ is, it's the way. The church is fine. We love them. But the church is not the way. Jesus is the way. Can't cast your cares upon the church. The church has no salvation. It can only point you to Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Who is the only salvation? He is the way, the truth, the life. The only way to the Father is through Jesus, the only comforter, the only one who can, knows how to care for us, for we can't even care for one another. It says, I read in the scripture some time ago where it said, not discerning the Lord's body. And I thought, what a statement found in 1 Corinthians 11. Not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are sick and weakly among you. The Lord's body is the church. And we do not have spiritual discernment enough to care for one another. How can we care then if we can't care for each other? How can we care for the lost and the dying? What hospital can we take them to? Cast our cares upon him, for he careth for you. Man takes this short route, and what makes them do it is because God, when he made man, he didn't make man to do that. He made man to be happy, to have satisfaction, to be comforted. God doesn't want his children to be uncomfortable. Now, let me just read that again. God does not want his children to be uncomfortable. When you're going through in your body with sickness, that makes you uncomfortable. God don't want his children to be uncomfortable. Amen. When they're cutting up on your job, that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. Amen. You don't know if you're going to have a job. When God don't want his children to be uncomfortable. God cares. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to meet every one of our needs, but we need to get them involved in the need. Don't try to fix it ourselves, but take it to Jesus because Jesus cares. I was reading, the prophet was talking about how he was talking about a mother, you know, and I'll tell you, we thank God for real good mothers. There's nothing, the mother's love is next to God's love, right? But, you know, when he was talking about how a mother could be sick in her body. But she can be laying there in the bed and sick and coughing and barely able to get up. And, you know, but if she just hear her baby cry, you know, hear the baby going through something, mama finds some strength from somewhere to get out of her bed. She might have to shuffle her feet to get there to the room. But she'll shuffle her feet just to get to the room, and she'll sit there with that baby and work with that baby to try to get that baby to sleep when she should be asleep herself. She'll be sitting right there trying to get that baby taken care of. Now, there's a reason that mama do that. It's because she cares, right? And mama, it's just something in her that, you know, that makes her express that care to that child. No matter how bad off she is, she'll sacrifice herself because she cares for the child. And if God put that in a mother, what do you think is laying inside of God? When one of his children is hurting, when one of his children, amen, is suffering, amen, when one of his children can't sleep at night, he cares. He wants to be there. That's why you find sometimes when you're going through, you just put on a tape at home. And when you put on a tape, it changes the atmosphere. And you wonder why you went from wanting to cry to wanting to shout. Because he's comforting you at that time. Just his word alone brings comfort. Sometimes just reading the scripture will bring comfort. It shows that he cares. Oh, hallelujah. I don't care what we're going through tonight. Jesus cares. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at a little bit more here. Amen. Amen, amen. Give me paragraph 52 in that. Oh, I'm sorry. Paragraph 52. It says, and the church is the life of God on earth, and he wants to comfort his church. Now, how it would be if you know that wiping the fevered brow of your child would comfort it, and it would refuse and spit in your face and reach and get a bottle of whiskey and something to take instead of the touch of the mother's hand or something. So that's what we do when we turn to other remedies. There's many remedies, but one cure. See, there's many remedies, but one cure. Christ is the cure and the only cure in this. He cares for us, he loves us, and he wants us to come to him. God made us that way, that holy thing in us that wants to be comforted. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, let me just kind of catch something else here. As I was, you know, God, I just going back to testimony, you know, with that I shared with y'all, how I lost that Bluetooth and sitting there in the restaurant there in North Carolina, and just reached in my pocket and there had a Bluetooth sitting in my pocket. I was not expecting that. I thought it was gone. I actually thought, I mean, here I done lost it again. I don't know why I keep losing this thing. I thought it was gone. But when I reached my hand in my pocket and there it was, it showed me that he cared. Right? I mean, you know, Jack, I know that means something to you. You know, I know you like that Bluetooth. And he cared, so he wanted to make sure I got it. Yeah. Amen. And he made sure he gave it back to me. Just God cared about simple things. Right? You know, as I, you know, I was thinking about the scripture of the man in the in 2 Kings, and you know, there he was out with an axe and just chopping away. And he happened to be chopping in the water, and while he was chopping with that axe, you know, somehow the head of the axe fell into the water, and you know, it's iron. So immediately here it just goes straight to the bottom of the water, right? So, you know, the man say, oh, my goodness, and it's so good that he had the opportunity. There was a prophet in the land, and the man ran towards the prophet. He said, prophet, please, that wasn't even mine. I borrowed that, and I need to get that back, you know. So prophet, would you please help me get this axe head, right? He didn't know what the prophet was going to do. He had no idea, you know, but he trusted that God was in the prophet. So when he went to the prophet, he said, would you please help me get the axe head? And the prophet took a stick. He said, where did it land? He said, right over in that area. The prophet took a stick and put it there. And when he put the stick there, all of a sudden that axe head just rose right to the top of the water. And he said, now go ahead and pick it up. He got it and got out the water. And it showed that the smallest things in our life, God cares, right? He doesn't want us to be uncomfortable. Ooh, glory to God. There's things in life that make us uncomfortable. God wants to kind of take those things out of your life. Amen, because he cares. Oh, hallelujah. All you got to do is get him involved, church. You know, but, you know, we look at, you know, that man with the axe head in scripture and how he could go to the prophet and get have a prayer prayed and then get that axe head found and restored and recovered. It just shows that God cares. And, you know, I was reading this probably a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago, but I want to bring something else back to your attention. Give me Revelation chapter 4. Shows God cares. God cares. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Says, just let me show you. See, it's something that you wouldn't know that don't go on when the Holy Spirit speaks. Fred Softman, our precious brother. Fred, I heard him say amen a while ago, but I couldn't place him out. Where is he at? Is he here? Here, right here, Brother Fred Softman, to show how simple it is. He had some friends coming, which was Brother Welch Evans, I presume. I don't know. They had a trailer there. They locked the doors, and Fred lost the keys. And Ben was looking everywhere and couldn't find them anywhere. And Brother Welch was coming right on up. So the day come that he was to arrive and things, they couldn't find the key anywhere. So he just called up home and said, Brother Branham, where is the keys at? You know, just imagine talking to the prophet like that, right? I mean, Brother Branham, where is the keys at? What you talking about, Fred? You know where my keys at. Come on, Brother Branham, tell me where my keys at. Right, I mean, just imagine having that type of relationship with the prophet, right? That if you lost your keys, he could tell you where to find them, right? If you lost your car, he could tell you where to find it, right? I mean, most people that you know, everybody didn't have a relationship like that. They can just call up to the prophet. Now, there were many in Brother Branham's day that would try to use this this gift in this manner. And he would actually go and find things for people. He would do that. But the Lord showed him that the people in America was not ready for a gift like that. Amen. They did not know how to use a gift like that, right? They would abuse it. So, you know, most people probably get something from God and never even stop to serve God, right? Never even think about serving God. I mean, they would just abuse this type of gift, right? So, you know, here, I mean, having a relationship with a prophet that, hey, I lost my keys. And, you know, here's the thing that I feel is very important is that
if you got respect enough for the office that the prophet is carrying, the gift that God has placed in life, if you got respect enough for that, then God could bless you, amen, with that gift. Like, I mean, put somebody in your life like that, right? God could bless you in these things. And it would show how much that he cares. Little things in your life. You don't have your keys? That's making you uncomfortable? I care about that. I'm going to help you find that. Go to my prophet, ask him where the key's at, and he's going to tell you exactly where it is. We keep on reading this quote. We keep on reading. Look at this. It says, Brother Branham, where's the keys at? Where would we find them? Now, that might stump some of you for a man to ask a question like that, but wait just a minute. Remember the sons of Jesse looking for mules, the mules. So if I had, and he's talking about actually Saul, who was the son of Kish, he was the one that was looking for the mules. So notice again, people trusted, they believed God's prophet was able to give them this type of information, so they approached him with respect. Look, he says, so if I had a gift in my hand, I'd take it down and show, give it to the prophet, and maybe he'd tell us where those mules were. Remember that? It says, while he was walking on the street, they met the prophet. He said, you're looking for the mules. Said, there you go on back home. Said, they've already returned. Is that right? I prayed. Fred walked over and picked up the keys. That's it. See? Brother Ed Dalton, where you at? He says, there he is. He heard me through the intercom or the public address system other night. A call came in, and Brother Ed was in serious trouble. I wanted to help him. Nope, said, I just want you to ask God. I asked the Lord to help him, and the next day his wife called up, somebody come to the rescue. All right, is that right, Brother Ed? Says, he's just God. That's all, he's just God. See, that's just all the time, constantly, from one place to another, from one place to another, no matter, oh my God, no matter what trouble it is, he's God. We don't go around and brag about those things. We're not supposed to. Just don't let the right hand or the left hand know what the right hand's doing. We talk it among ourselves, but we don't blast that out somewhere, because that's self-pride. Like God only could do it for one person. He'd do it for anybody that'll believe him. It's belief, faith. Whatever you want to do, whatever your thoughts are, take it to God. He provides everything. Is that right? So he answers prayer. God is a prayer-answering Father. Church, he cares. I remember we were in Jeffersonville, and we were packing up, getting ready to go the next morning, and Brother Nathan had a car that he had rented that weekend. So we helped him drive. I helped him drive the car back, you know, to drop it back off to the car rental place. And you know, as we're going around in the car that weekend, we were dropping it off, and my wife called me as we were dropping off. She said, could y'all look in the car? I can't find my cell phone. Could y'all look in the car and see if it's in there? But we started looking in that car, and, man, we could not find no cell phone. It was not in that car, not there. And Brother Nathan, you know, just kind of just quickened to him, just, hey, let's just pray, and let's just see, you know, what God will do. And he prayed, and, you know, after he prayed, you know, and, you know, sometimes I tell you, boy, we don't have faith in them type of prayers. We don't have no confidence in them type. It's just, well, we're praying just because that's the thing we supposed to do, right? We Christians, and we supposed to pray, so let's just pray so we can say we prayed, right? But you know you ain't got no faith. Amen. You know your faith is not even in the prayer that you're praying. You're just doing that because that's what you're supposed to do. Right. But when you really got faith that, you know, like this man in scripture, like, look, only Jesus can help me. Yeah. Only Jesus can cure this condition. When we come with that kind of faith, like, Lord, you know where my keys at. God, you know where my cell phone is. God, you know where my Bluetooth is. And God, I believe that you're able to do something about it. If you will, I believe you will do something about it. Amen. Amen. I believe you can. If you will, I believe you can. So here, you know, Brother Nathan, he was sincere. He was praying, and I have to be the one to say, Brother, I don't know. Let's pray. First thing I'm saying, I can't believe she left the phone. I don't know how she lost the phone. I don't know what happened here. Brother, just pray. that brother prayed, and when he prayed, we said amen. He stuck his hand in a little compartment, and there the phone was, right there in the compartment. Pulled it right out. See, God put the phone there. It showed that he cared. Amen. My wife was going through a moment of being uncomfortable. I don't have my phone. There's things I need that's in that phone. I need that. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. God cared. God showed that he cared. We couldn't go to the prophet, but we can go to another believer. And pray. If we touch asking anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have it, church. Oh, my. Yeah, he cares. Whatever you got tonight, he cares. Woo! Let's go to explaining the ministry. Look at this. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Says, now before I sit down, I'd like to say this. Many times people come like this. There's a man in here somewhere tonight, supposedly he come up home not long ago, just to give you a little illustration. Brother Welsh Evans, I suppose he's here. Are you here, Brother Evans? Raise up your hand if you are. Yeah, over here against the wall. He drives about 700 miles one way every Sunday when I'm to speak at the tabernacle. Now, I wonder how many of us would have been faithful enough to get in our car and drive 700 miles to go hear the prophet speak. Now, most of us would, ain't no way. We'd have been, I'm sorry, 700 miles. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to make it. But I'm going to tell you, when you press, God got something for you. Right? And this man did it weekly, 700 miles. 700 miles. One way every Sunday when I'm to speak at the tabernacle, right about 1,500 miles a trip on Sunday. Start on Sunday, go, gets back on Monday or Tuesday. He had a new gas, he had a new station wagon. He brought it to Louisville. They had a great thieving ring in Louisville, and they steal cars, take them to Bowling Green, about 118 miles below, run them into a paint shop, paint them, run them out. And you don't have to have a title to sell a car in Kentucky. They take the number off the block and make you a title. And, oh, it was a horrible ring. Mr. Evans, not knowing this, coming to Miller's cafeteria, left his car open, went into the cafeteria. He come back out, his tape recorder, their clothes, their car, and all was gone. He and Brother Fred Softman. And then they consulted one another. They didn't know what to do. And they said, let's go up to Brother Branham. They come up there at the house. I said, well, I don't know. We'll just pray. Now, you might think this would be wrong, but getting down, praying, I cannot make it happen. God has to do it. I don't control it. It controls me. See? Then I saw the car on the road going towards Bowling Green. A young fellow was driving it. He was dressed with an overall jacket on, had a brown tie. I started praying just as the vision was. The man turned himself around in the road. The man had been a Christian, and the Holy Spirit stopped him, turned him around, and I saw him where he parked the car. My God. You know, God showed him a vision of the man turning the car around. And as he saw the man driving, he just began to pray that God would turn the man around. Now, you know, sometimes you can pray that God would turn something around. You might see it going in a particular direction, but pray and ask God to turn that thing around. Look at it. It says, the man had been a Christian, and the Holy Spirit stopped him, turned him around, and I saw him where he parked the car, told Mr. Evans, go to such and such a place, and you'll find your car there, and you just filled your tank up. Yes? Said, it'll be about half empty because he's drove about 100 miles in it. Mr. Evans turned around, went out of the place. I held him there for a while until the vision could be brought to pass. Sometimes you got to wait, right? Besides, I held him there for a while until the vision could be brought to pass. Mr. Evans on his road out to Mr. Softman's, right on the side of the street coming from Louisville all the way over to Jeffersonville, across the river, parked the car right in that place, and it was sitting there with the keys in it, ready. Is that right, Mr. Evans? See, prayer, I want to tell you, you don't have to see a vision. You don't have to see a vision, but just pray.
And be sincere when you pray, right? Not just not, you know, I'm just praying because that's what we're supposed to do. No, pray. See, the Holy Spirit convicted the man and turned him around. Church, and I tell you what, if we pray with a conviction ourselves, we'll see God do some things. He cares. He don't want you to be uncomfortable. He don't want you to, you know, to I mean, we just, you know, it's the will of God that I go through. No, that's not the will of God. That's Satan doing some of those things. God cares. If a mama would get up from her bed when she's sick as I don't know what to go take care of her baby, trust me, God will leave whatever he's doing to make sure his baby is taken care of. He cares. God richly bless you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we're just so appreciative of your word. Lord, something just to uplift and strengthen our spirits. Satan battles on every hand. But Lord, it's just so good to know that you're a God that's concerned about everything we're going through. All we have to do is pray. All we have to do is bring it into your presence. Lord, knowing that you are able to do something about it. That man had leprosy, and God just didn't know which way to turn. But when he saw you, he knew that whatever he was going through had a potential to be taken care of. Lord, so he approached you and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I don't know how long he had been suffering from that condition. It didn't matter, but he was just in touch with the person that could actually do something about it. The doctors could do nothing. The priests could do nothing. Mother and father, sister, brother, nobody could do anything. But Jesus was able. And God, as you looked upon him and reached your hand out and touched him, Lord, the scripture says immediately the leprosy was cured. And God, we have some situations that we bring before you tonight. God, we have things that we're going through in our homes, on our jobs, with our families. There's things that we are going through, but we believe that you care. And we believe, Lord Jesus, that you're able to fix it, you're able to resolve it, that you're able to turn it around. So, Lord, we bring it and we commit it to you, believing that you will do the miraculous. It's not just a sermon for us to hear, but, Lord, it's something that we can receive, a promise that we can lay claims to. If you did it before, you can do it again. And as we just read there, Lord, it's not us seeing a vision, but it's a sincere prayer, bringing it to you, a sincere prayer, believing that only you can fix it. We give it to you tonight. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Sister Rachel had a testimony that she wanted to share, and I didn't catch her earlier, so let's give her a moment to share.
And
Praise the Lord. He cares.
Amen. No matter what it is, God cares. And I mean, that's a little uncomfortable, having to get out the car, walk around, and open up this. No, just the clicker take care of that. All right. So praise the Lord for He cares, church. I pray you'll be encouraged tonight. Everybody in here has something that they're going through. And no matter what you're going through, God cares. Amen. He cares for you. Praise the Lord. Let's have the brothers come, and we'll participate in tonight's tithes and offering, and prepare to let you go. We'll be back on Sunday morning. Our prayer will be at 7, and then our Sunday school at 9:30, and service at 10:30. Don't forget, also Sunday we'll have communion at 5:30. This Sunday, so keep that in mind. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Lord, all that you're doing in our midst. We're special to you, and we just appreciate how you treat us. We know you love us. You don't want us to be uncomfortable. God, just help us just to have faith and to trust you that you'll work it out somehow. No matter what it is that we're facing, you will work it out. The songwriter said, God has it all in control. You put the reassurance in our soul, God. We know that you have completely already taken care of the situation. So tonight as we give, we pray that you bless our giving. God, we thank you for jobs that you've given us that allows us to give. And God, whatever needs we have, Lord, even with our jobs, we know that you'll work it all out. And help us, Lord, just to be good stewards of everything that you give us, that we'll be faithful, amen, in our service to you. Bless our tithes, bless our offering. And God, we are thanking you in advance for our new church and our new school. God, it's just my desire just to, Lord, for us to be able to do so much more. And I believe we can. But God, we're just trusting you that you will lead us and guide us and direct us. And bless our offering tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Stop thinking about the church over in Fort Myers. Just hearing the testimony of last week, and you know, brother telling us about 5,000 square feet. And really, what 5,000 square feet is really the church and the school kind of combined together. Whenever you're kind of getting that in your head, it's like those two buildings, probably a little bit more. But having that combined together and you know, that type of square footage and paying $850 a month for that, I'm like, Lord, I know that you're able. I know that you're able. Because, church, I tell you, I just have a desire that even in our finances, I want us to be able to bless God. I want us to be able to do things, amen, here in Spirit and Truth that you know, I believe it should be done. I'm going to go out and say some things tonight. Maybe I'm going to turn the tapes off so people can't come back. But those that are here, you'll hear it.